You're listening to the Build Assets Online Podcast. Learn how you can build a diverse and sustainable income online from two brothers who actually do it. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Joe.
Joe and Mike, buildassetsonline.com, back at you again. Today, we're talking about how to pick a good domain name for a high-ticket dropshipping store or for any website in general, actually, because I think this applies across the board, Mike. And, you know, this is something that I think a lot of people overlook. We touched on this in one of our previous episodes, but I think this is something that a lot of people overlook, but is crucially, crucially important as the site gets older. Because think about it. You're having, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people hit your site a year, even if it's 100,000, even if it's 50,000. A fraction of those people are going to come back to your site and buy. And if they can't remember your domain name, or if your domain name is complicated, if it's whatever, they're not coming back. You know, you want someone to hit your website and be like, oh, buildassetsonline.com. I remember that. Let me type it in my browser where I buildassetsonline.com, because that direct traffic, that traffic where someone is typing the stuff right into the browser bar, that's going to be your best converting traffic, in my humble opinion. And if they can't remember your domain name, then you're screwed.
Yeah, I think it comes down to three things: length, memorability, and confusion, right? If you can get a one-word domain name, then you're pretty solid with that.
That's
but
not
the
happening.
The reality is that it's probably not going to happen unless you're some sort of Silicon Valley startup that's willing to pay, you know, $1 million for a stupid domain name. So two words I think is solid.
Mm-hmm.
Three words I think is the max.
The three words have to go really well together.
Right. So then it comes into memory, right? So it's like, if you have a three-word domain, well, if it's three words, it better be super memorable.
Yeah.
Because you're asking a lot of someone now.
Yeah.
You're asking them to remember three words.
Yeah.
I'm not even being facetious.
We have a lot of stuff to remember nowadays, Mike, in the modern world.
I mean, Joe, I answered all the dropshipping phone calls myself for years. And do you know how many times, I mean, number one, people call and not even know what website they're on.
Is this Walmart?
Exactly. That really happened. But then, all right, you got to tell them, like, I can't even remember the context now, but I have to, like, tell people what the website is that they're on. And
oh, yeah.
When I say the website, if it's not something that they could just hear and then correctly type into the browser or even Google, some people don't even know how to use the address bar, then it's going to be a hassle.
Yes. And you know what's kind of funny, not funny to me, but we had a student the other day who basically, you know, we were, you know, I'm kind of in a discussion with him over his domain name because I really don't like it. And, you know, they were basically saying that if someone, it's going to be easy, even though their domain name is like hard to spell, hard to remember, it's going to be easy because someone goes back to Google, you know, they're going to type it in and it's going to autocomplete. But that's just not true, because Google autocompletes, first of all, it's based on a number of things, one of them being how much the site is typed in. If you have a new site and it's not typed in a lot, first of all, say your site starts with A, there's going to be so many other things that have similar, like, that Google is going to autocomplete before your site. So,
oh yeah,
you know,
that'll take forever.
Yeah,
Google's gonna have to, like, recognize you, and like, you're gonna have to get search volume and stuff before it even starts doing that.
And Mike, it's funny what you said, that yeah, people would call and like not even realize what store they're on. So
yeah.
So if they can't remember your domain, then you're in big trouble. And second of all, not everyone starts their internet journey on Google. You know, I have a Windows computer, which I hate and I'm getting rid of for multiple reasons. I want to just say this real quick. There's a side thing in the bottom that says like weather or whatever. So I wanted to check the temperature and the rain. I click this stupid widget and it's got like 10 million news articles. And I'm like, oh my God, like, are you trying to, like, I don't want to see this. I just want to see the weather. So I'm done with Windows, but not everyone starts their internet journey on Google, is the point that I was getting to. And so if you have a Windows computer and you don't like download Chrome and set your homepage as Google, you know, you're going to be using Microsoft Edge. You know, people have all sorts of weird computers with like weird browsers. They're, you know, I just look at some of the search engines that we get traffic from on all of our sites, stuff I've never even heard of, but just stuff that's, I don't know, people have it set as their homepage for some reason. I mean, think about our parents, the way they navigate the internet is like, I mean, quite different than we would. And, you know, they could be your customer.
Exactly. And so that's what people need to consider is like, everyone that's listening to this is most likely part of a particular demographic. But when you're going and you're selling, you know, a wine refrigerator or what have you online, you're now getting involved with a totally different demographic. You know how to use the internet if you're listening to this, most likely, because you're browsing around, you're looking at like how to do things on the internet to make money. But there's just a large percentage of the population that is never going to see this stuff. And, you know, they're just going and they're trying to get a refrigerator. And, you know, they see an ad, they see a text ad, refrigerator, you know, $4.99, they call it. You got this in stock. They don't even know what they're doing. So you need to be able to easily bring them in if they decide that they want to continue their purchase with you. And so, the last one I had was like confusion. So right, you could have a domain name that's, you know, a couple words, 2-3 words. It could be memorable, but is it confusing? Can someone be able to like type it in correctly?
Yes.
Into Google or your browser?
Yes, and I hate it. I hate like misspellings of words in this context. People will misspell like certain words so that the domain, you know, maybe they'll leave a vowel out. Like if the domain had like letter in it, it'll be like LETTR.
And that's like that startup like BS. Like that's really all startups do, I feel like, is just think of words and then just put LY at the end or just take a letter off or just do something like that. But with dropshipping or even, you know, a content website, that's not what you want to do, because this is all about, you know, we're not going for like some multi-million dollar brand play. It's like you got someone on the phone one time. They got to be able to come back and remember it and type it in successfully and get to where they're going to go or get to where you want them to go. Because, Joe, if they type something into the address bar, they type something into Google, you don't show up, they're most likely gone forever.
They're going somewhere else and they see that, you know, they see that shopping ad at the top. Maybe it's, you know, whatever, based on their browsing history or they see some other ad or whatever. They're gone. They're gone. See, like they're getting retargeted for a search ad. I don't know. I'm not saying it depends on what they type in, but you know, if they don't remember you and they're looking for you again, they can't find you within a millisecond, they're gone. And you just lost a sale.
Right. And the thing is, the majority of people are already doing this. Like what's the average bounce rate?
That is a complicated discussion because unless you set up your Google Analytics a certain way, a bounce rate could be a bit weird. Like so if someone doesn't we're going to go off really deep here. Like I don't know how it works with the new Google Analytics, but with the old one, if someone, you know, say they read your page, they don't click anything, but they read it, and they go back, that's considered a bounce rate. But you know, is it really if they read the content and they got what they wanted? But then you could set certain triggers with Google Tag Manager to where if they stay on 30 seconds, that's not a bounce. So
right. Okay. People do also. What I'm trying to get at is like, all right, our first dropshipping site, we installed Lucky Orange. And Lucky Orange, every time someone would come onto the website, it would do like a doorbell, like a
ding dong.
Yeah. And then every time they would leave, it'd sound like a door shutting. It'd be like a boom. And all day, what I would hear is dong ding, boom.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe one or two out of 10 actually stays and really has an engaging process with the website. So the point is that you don't want to make that number higher by not giving someone the ability to go find your website again.
Absolutely. And I would say this is only getting worse. I mean, I do this. I'll be thinking of stuff like sometimes, you know, if I'm like browsing on like my iPad or something and I'm like looking like I'm thinking about buying the Oculus now. So I'm sure I'm going to be typing it in and I'm gonna go to a bunch of different websites or whatever, you know, and then I'm gonna be, my wife's gonna be like, go do this, and then I'm gonna forget, and then I'm gonna be bouncing around all over the place. So everyone's doing this,
right? And this is why retargeting is important, and this is why we teach retargeting. But again, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot if someone can't naturally just directly go back onto your website just through their own memory.
Yeah. All right. That's about it for this one, guys. BuildAssetsOnline.com/playbook. See how we build online asset portfolios. It's a free web class. Link in the description. And we'll see you in the next one.
Take it easy.
Thanks for listening to the Build Assets Online podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, don't forget, subscribe, share, and leave us a rating on whatever platform you might be listening from. And if you're ready to learn how to build your own online business portfolio, start now by visiting buildassetsonline.com/playbook. We'll see you in the next episode.